Blog Talk Radio.
There you go, Jack.
We're here today with Heather Schreck, who's a personage from Free Speech TV, and she's going to tell us a lot of good things about that independent network and what they're up to and what she's been up to personally. They just conducted a great successful pledge drive, and so she's going to tell us about that and all that sort of thing too. I'm going to be doing most of the talking today because Gwen's a little bit under the weather. So I've got Wayne Johnson from Minds and Times of Wayne Johnson here with me today, plus Heather Schreck from Free Speech TV. And we welcome anybody who wants to call in or comment on the line there and stuff. And we'll look forward to hearing from you people. But in the meantime, we're going to talk with and welcome Heather Schreck to the program. Hi, Heather. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me back. It's good to talk to all three of you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure for you too, hon.
Yeah, it's a
thank
pleasure.
Thank you.
Definitely. Yep. So tell us what you've been up to, Gwen. Heather, you went to a fundraising seminar or something?
I did. I attended this workshop called Fundraising from the Heart. And it was, created by Lynn Twist. Lynn is an amazing human being who I was introduced to by a former coworker, and she wrote the book called The Soul of Money, which if you have not read it, I encourage everyone to do so. And it just was transformational. It was inspiring. It was empowering. I attended with 64 other people, two of which had flown in from Africa. This is a husband and wife team who were successful doctors in San Francisco and then decided to quit and open a hospital in Africa. Two came in from London, and one came in from Canada. So it was really amazing to hear that international support for it, as well as cool. Folks from all over the country who, really work in development and fundraising and, are up to, various things. Some are development directors, some are, event managers, and some volunteer. But I think, she kicked it off. It was last week in Santa Fe, Friday through Sunday. And so you get settled and you're at the Upaya Zen Center, which is just this magical, I couldn't have thought of a better place to have it. Usually a lot of these conferences are held at hotels and you bounce around various rooms. And this is a really intimate setting and a really peaceful setting. They do their breakfast in silence. Which is pretty incredible, but Friday night she had something to say about fundraising, and she said the fundraisers are here to reallocate currency from fear to love, which I thought
was one of the most incredible ways
to kick things off, and you're like, okay, I'm here to, hopefully for professional development. At the same time, it was really also a personal development. She went into the history of money, which I thought was powerful. Money was initially created to, do good and, as goods and services, and has basically been hijacked, sadly, to, whether you're talking wars, whether you're talking consumerism, the average American sees 30,000 images of advertising and marketing every day, and 5-year-olds on average know the names of 20 companies because they're being targeted, as well as what I found interesting but wasn't shocking to me, just due to where society is that the number one growing business in America is storage units, because of our consumerism. Then she went over, you know, the conditions of scarcity and where people's mindsets are. So she was talking about how the first one is there's not enough. So we definitely get into that, you know, realm of, you know, it's never enough and what we have. The second is more is better. and then the third was that's just the way it is. So it just ended up being 10 times more than what I thought it was. I went into it with an intention of clarity, not only for my job, but really, you know, knowing how she approaches money on a spiritual side as well as, you know, from the fundraising side. And what I found with her working on, you know, she had created the Hunger Project. She now runs the Pachamama Alliance. This is an incredible organization that works with the indigenous people of the Amazon. And she was talking about her board and how every board meeting that they have, that their board members do a half-hour thank you calls. And it's not just major donors. They're just picking random people of various amounts just to say thank you. And I ended up falling in love with every single person there. Just doing incredible work, and the exercises she was doing were incredibly powerful. And she kept talking about Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa and Gandhi and Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony as examples, saying, you know, hey, they did incredible work, but they were amazing fundraisers because fundraising should be at the core of your organization. It's really the heart and the lungs to allow you to do all the incredible work that you're doing. So she started into that. And then, you know, our homework Saturday night before we went to bed was, you know, these are people that had a stand. And a stand is something you may not see in this lifetime, but you know, I want you to come in on Sunday and say what your stand in, what your stand is, and what you're born to do. It was, you know, as you're sitting there going, oh my God, what was I born to do? That's really intense. You know, and at the same time, it allowed you to go really deep into who you are. All of the exercises she did with everybody were meeting up with different people. So you're allowing to, you know, really connect with those folks, and you're admitting things that, you know, you probably never admitted to anybody in your life, you know, but you're somehow the stranger looking at you at the eye. She had just created this safe space to allow you to do so. And it just, you know, it's just a magical, really, really, truly magical experience. And I can definitely have a lot of takeaways that I can, you know, hopefully bring to the network, but also was able to, you know, take that fear of money and realize that we give it the power that it has and that we have the right to take that back and say, no, that's not what we want. And, you know, we want to do good, what it was intended to. So I think it's, you know, truly up to us to be able to, you know, rechannel that and say, no, we're going to take that power back. And, you know, I told her and I told everyone, somehow I went from being the introvert to somehow an extrovert and being okay with talking to people and not being afraid to speak. And, you know, I just thanked everyone and said that, you know, in this really, truly overstimulated society we live in, it was amazing to have the amount of connection or connectiveness with people rather than, you know, you calling a friend and you hopefully they pick up. But, you know, I was like, maybe you don't have those people in your life that, you know, you try to call them to say hi and then they don't pick up, and then they'll send you, you know, 80 messages back and forth via text because that's just how, you know, we've rebuilt how we communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice to, you know, shut the cell phone off and put it aside and Part of me, you know, wanted to come back and be like, hey, I want a landline with the, you know, the kitchen phone that I grew up with the 80-foot cord, and I'll keep my cell phone on the side, you know, when I, you know, do road trips or for emergencies, but we're so at beck and call of everybody nowadays that it's kind of nice just to have that conversation one-on-one with people, which I think that, you know, for folks who, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, was born in, you know, the early 70s. So I remember that life, but prior to, and it was nice to actually come back to that and actually communicate the way that we used to communicate.
And, you know, Heather, I think it's important. You made the very apt point that we are bombarded, literally, we are bombarded every single day with advertising just designed to get us to consume more and more and bigger and better and wilder and wider. And it's just, you know, we're so obsessed with that in this society that, you know, it makes us not only consume, but want to consume and want to get more. And it's a very addictive cycle that is really not always that good. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the company you work for, Free Speech TV, if I just may say something about that, you're the pledge drive director. You're directly involved with getting money to keep that wonderful company operating. And for those who don't know about it, who are tuning in for the first time, Free Speech TV, you can see it at freespeech.org on your computer, or you can watch it on DirecTV and a few other outlets too, Dish TV and another of other ones as well. It's completely viewer-supported and non-commercial. They don't take money from banks. They don't take money from insurance companies. They don't take money from businesses. They take money only from viewers. And once in a while, they may run a public service announcement or something like that, but you don't get this every 5 minutes, you know, 3 minutes of commercials or more that you get on network TV. I've just gotten away from network TV so bad. I get so aggravated every time I watch it because all you get is a solid stream of commercials, and they're all pandering to you and trying to make you buy more and more and more. And it, you know, it's really quite disgusting, and it kind of cheapens our lives, really. So that's a great thing about Free Speech TV. Tell us a little bit more about your role at Free Speech, Heather, if you would. What you do pledge drives, and what are special events that you do?
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Heather, you familiar with Marianne Williamson?
One of my heroes, honestly. I found Marianne when I was a college student, and I went into our bookstore and I was just, looking for something different just to read. And I had found her book. And it's a book that I don't think most people know her for, but it's called A Woman's Worth. And I've reread that book probably four or five times. And I think every woman should read it, honestly, because she really does. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, when you were describing your workshop, it reminded me of you. Of course, you're on my side of the rainbow now, but but it reminded me of something that I always keep in mind that I heard her say so often is it's not about the next sale; it's about the service.
Good
you
point.
Get oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean, and that's the core of who we are. And that's how, you know, unfortunately money was, you know, broken out. And so, you know, when you're looking at free speech, you know, when she was talking about, you know, where money goes within nonprofits, so 5% of corporations give money, 7% are foundations, and that's including the really big guys like Bill Gates. The rest of it is individuals, which I think is, 86%? Mm-hmm. Of that 80-some-odd percent, 74 of which come from people who make less than $150,000 a year. And that's where, you know, when you're looking at Free Speech TV, you know, pledge drives, we do them four times a year. I manage them. I They bring in more money than our direct mail and our online campaigns, and they're individually supported by folks giving any dollar amount. And I had talked to Lynn, you know, just to kind of wrap up and say thank you. And I, you know, what I was finding a lot in our last drive, and I think this is where we're coming into the election season. And the election season is really, really hard for nonprofits in the sense that folks start donating to candidates, which is okay, that's their choice, but nonprofits definitely take a hit when that happens. And we were seeing, you know, a drop in our donation levels, which is okay. You know, the majority, I think our network really speaks to what America is and where America is, you know, financially. But we were seeing so many people who are so passionate about this network and, you know, would call in, you know, $5, $10, $20, $25, those, you know, what you would, you know, sit back and may go, okay, well, that's a small amount, but that's what they had. And then they would apologize to you, which has been the biggest heart ripper to me.
Yeah.
Is when they apologize. And, you know, if anybody has ever gotten me on the phone during a pledge drive and apologizes, I then say, well, thank you for your donation. Now I need to lovingly yell at you. And I do. And I say, you know, every dollar is magical support. Never, never, ever, never apologize for standing up and donating to our nonprofit or any other nonprofit, because that speaks to the heart of you trying to make a difference, whether that's, you know, us, whether that's, you know, donating to, you know, Doctors Without Borders and to an environmental cause, whatever the case may be. The value, that should be value to you, is saying, you know what, I'm going to make my voice heard today through that support. Whatever that dollar amount is. And I was on Bill Press's show during Drive, and I brought up Bernie as an example. And what I love about Bernie and what he's been able to do, he's not taking corporate money. It's coming from individuals across the nation. It's coming down to an average of $27. And, you know, I was like, could you imagine that? I said, that's a beautiful thing. So every time I get a $20 person or that $3 person or that person who says, okay, I'm going to get paid tomorrow. This is what I have. This is what I can give you. Does that, you know, is that okay? And I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, it's a beautiful thing. And we definitely do have those magical donors that, you know, give at larger levels, and they're incredible people who have the means to do that. But that is not the majority of America, and it definitely doesn't speak
right
to where the majority of money is going in nonprofit land. And that's where, you know, I have the passion for my job. I love what we do. I love, you know, the hosts that we work with, but I definitely rally around these folks who give at whatever level that is, and it's not the major donor level and those huge levels.
Right.
You know, those, you know, folks giving at the smaller levels, those are my people. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing when you're seeing that, you know, that activism all the way across.
And Heather, let's make the clear distinction right here and right now that you are a nonprofit organization that is running a television network that has it's called Free Speech TV. It's true. It allows all types of speech, all sides of issues and that sort of thing. It's very progressive based, but it allows for the opposition to present its case on occasion too. But the nice thing about it is, unlike some nonprofits, you guys run very lean. There is no money at all wasted. Absolutely none. That entire network is like 14 or 15 people. That's it. And you're doing a great
on
service.
Staff. Yeah, 15 on staff running a 20. We're a total staff of 15 running a 24/7 news network. our budget is actually less than a 30-second Super Bowl commercial, and that's what we do 365 days a year. So what we pull off for the money that we do gain in is insane to me, on how we're able to do, you know, all that we do. It's like I, you know, brought up to Bill's audience, and I was on Stephanie Miller's show as well, as I said, you know, let's take, you know, Bernie's $27.
Mm-hmm.
We know, you know, what our viewer base is, you know, to some degree. If every single person who actually viewed us donated $27, we would double what we bring in viewer support every single year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer. That now allows us to double our staff. That now allows us to, you know, take things to a whole new level, and take what we do magically, I think, every single day, and step that up and ramp it up. And, you know, most people find us by accident. You know, they're looking on Dish, for example, and they're like, wow, I didn't know, you know, here I am having Dish Network. I didn't know that there were 9,000 channels, because we're channel 9415.
Wow.
So a lot of folks come to us by accident. And we have no marketing budget.
Right.
So, you know, if folks, you know, actually we were able to activate more of that audience at home to actually get involved, we would then have that marketing budget that everybody wants us to have, you know.
Right.
And, you know, when
well,
you talk
to
a viewer. To
know, it's important for people to know that their contributions to free speech are not going into a big pot where people can party with it and all that stuff. I was disgusted to learn about Wounded Warriors Project. You know,
Let me interject here. Myself being a last of the Vietnam vets, and then also the campaign down in South America when the military juntas were in charge, Pinochet in Chile and the Argentina stuff, where, you know, I buried two of them down there, you know, fold the flags, I'll say. They were actually sent home and buried, but...
Mm.
When I heard what they were doing with Wounded Warriors, I was highly infuriated.
Yeah, exactly.
People donated that money for a good cause, and they saw it as party time.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
well,
I just heard a report recently.
And sadly, it's not the only one, you know.
Exactly.
You know, go research, and some, you know, will pay staff and, you know, it's just obscene amounts of money. And I've been a big believer in UNICEF, and I love what UNICEF does. And I've watched the documentary with Hugh McGregor to really understand how UNICEF works. Well, the CEO of UNICEF makes, you know, like $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a second, like I'm donating at the same time. Why do you need to make that amount of money? Because it's not true to your mission. You can cut that in half.
Well,
you could cut that in a quarter. That's, you know, how many more kids that, you know, you're talking about and you're trying to convince, you know, and they got me for years, but I stopped donating to them. And it's not that I don't believe in their mission. But until, you know, you look at that and say, wait a second, why am I paying you for an incredible salary? You should not be going into nonprofit to make a ton of money. I don't believe that that's
why
you do it.
That was my point about Wounded Warriors Project, Heather. I just read an expose or heard about an expose where they were blowing a lot of this money on lavish parties. I mean, that is not what a nonprofit that is supposed to aid people is supposed to be doing. But that's what they're doing, and so I will never contribute to those guys until I'm positive that they've cleaned up their act and are not blowing money foolishly on stupid, luxurious things that don't need to be out there. You know, and when they pay Trace Adkins and all these guys, these country stars, they obviously must pay them some kind of money to sponsor their in their ads and all that sort of thing. Maybe these guys are donating their time. I don't know. I shouldn't comment. But if they are paying them, that's another waste of money, because that means their overhead is way too high, and their deliverance to the people that really need the money is way too low. That is why you guys are such a great contrast, because there are no millionaires at Free Speech TV,
nope.
Absolutely none, and everybody that's nope. there is dedicated and working, and it's only a full-time staff of 15. That's absolutely
yep.
incredible, remarkable, and very, very good.
Well, and especially if you're looking at corporate media, and, you know,
oh,
no
yeah.
offense to corporate media, but, you know, and I don't
oh,
know what their staff sizes are, but at the same time, if I'm looking at a staff of 15, I definitely know, as, you know, Tom Hartman has stated, the budget just for one show is more than our own and what we're able to do 365. And yes,
right.
we do come at it from a progressive point of view. And, you know, sadly, we are in election time. I've never done a pledge drive, you know, in the election season before. And so it was interesting to one guy just kept consistently not only called our comment line, but, you know, it's really easy for folks to go on our website and to find my information, obviously, and obsessively calling because he was a Trump supporter and,
oh.
you know, didn't understand why he wasn't getting a call back and why, you know, we label it Free Speech TV when he felt that his voice wasn't being heard. And
uh-huh.
he wanted an answer. And after I heard the first one and he kept calling, I was like, unfortunately, because we are a staff of 15, there are only so many hours in the day. We can't call back every single person that does call in. If it's a customer
every
service
time
and they have
call.
A question.
Yeah.
But absolutely, on the comment line, I mean, we were seeing, I probably got around 60, 70 voicemails a day just in comments.
Wow.
Which is incredible because we had never seen that volume before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really due to the passionate, you know, where people are in this political climate. And I was really
sure.
grateful for them to call in. And we got a handful, a huge handful, actually, on the film American Outrage. And American Outrage is, you know, two Shoshone women who are fighting the BLM, you know, and, you know, people were calling in going, you know, talking about how much they loved it. Unfortunately, you know, where our budget is as far as documentaries go, we can't air the new ones. You know, folks have said, okay, well, what about Inequality for All? Well, Inequality for All would be one third of our entire documentary budget just to air
wow.
it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the majority of the documentaries we are airing are older, or, you know, there's somebody like Scott from Plutocracy who is just a Canadian who is incredibly passionate about what he's doing, where money is not the end all be all for him, where we're able to bring that film on and it's revolutionary, which is a beautiful thing, but it's really heartbreaking when you're having people call in about American Outrage saying,
mm-hmm.
how can I help these women? I really, really want to help these women. And at the same time, you're going, okay, well, this film was made 5-6 years ago.
Well, you know, but regardless of when it was made, Heather, it's still very relevant, and it still rings
oh,
true even to this day. And that's what makes it so remarkable and such an educational experience for the viewer. Let's talk for a moment about something else near and dear to your heart that is fundraising related, and it's the Jason McKim Fellowship that you've been working on so hard for the last about half a year or better. You know, let's talk about that a little bit. Why don't you explain to the people out there what it is and how it came about and what your role is in it and what you're hoping to do with it and where it's at today.
Yeah, Jason was my manager, and he was my manager. He's, you know, him and I had met. I had applied for a special events manager position at Open Media Foundation, which is Denver's local public access station, and that's where I met Jason.
Jason McCain, I called him McKim. It's McKim.
Yes.
McCain, I'm sorry, yeah.
No, it's all
okay.
good. So he had hired me over at OMF, and we were both part-time at OMF, and he was doing part-time at Free Speech TV. He had worked at Free Speech TV prior. He went off to do other things, and then came back. And so that's where I had met Jason. And I was coming off of I had worked the entertainment industry for 12 years in Los Angeles. I'm a Gemini. And so I had two passions and two dreams, and one of which was to work in Hollywood, which I did. And then when the writer's strike hit, I knew it was time to go into my second dream, which is nonprofit. And by the time I had met Jason and applied at OMF, I had probably sent out about 200 resumes. So it was really incredible to actually be hired by somebody who understood that event experience and, you know, some of the nonprofit work that he had done. Some of your audience may know Sonali Kahakar, who does Uprising out of Los Angeles. And Sonali and I had connected years ago, and she runs a nonprofit called Afghan Women's Mission. And so I volunteered with her for 6.5 years, and Jason exactly knew who Sonali was, which was pretty shocking for me at the same time. I think was a true testament to him really watching, you know, and being really, really drawn to independent media to begin with. So he had hired me at OMF, and we were putting together this event. And then he ended up leaving and going to work at Free Speech TV. And said, okay, well, I'm leaving, buddy, but, you know, I'm going to reach out to you, and when I'm ready, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to bring you over here. And he, you know, 2 to 3 months, to his word, which is pretty shocking and I think is really unfounded nowadays, he did. And so I started off at Free Speech TV with him part-time. Ended up getting a pledge drive manager position and moving into a full-time status. We were both, you know, I think both of him and I connected and worked together well because we were activists first. He, you know, had worked with Greenpeace. He had worked with Colorado Progressive Coalition. He was very into marches and sit-ins and anything that was socially justice oriented, and if there was a hit on anybody, he was right there to stand up for that. And so we had gone through this journey together, and last June, which was also during our June drive, he had gone fishing at Boulder Creek on a Sunday, because part of his sanctuary was not only his wife and his twins, Lael and Oliver, but the other sanctuary he found was in just being in nature. So he went fly fishing and unfortunately never came home.
That's a shame.
Which was probably... I know, number one, that probably the biggest hit the organization's ever had personally. This is a man who not only was a manager, but he was so different in the sense that him and I had built an incredible friendship, and him and I were born in the same year. So he was literally, you know, he had twins at home. But he was older than me by 6 weeks. And so I really viewed him as the older brother I'd never had. And, you know, was giving that advice. You're one-on-ones, you know, most people who, you know, work and, you know, if you have one-on-ones where you're touching base with your manager, you know, your meetings were never, you know, okay, we're going to spend an hour talking about the projects you're working on and what you're doing. You know, the majority of which, you know, spent on what you were doing personally, because he wanted and was such an advocate of, okay, where do you want to go personally? And I want to help you to get that you there. Was that professionally? Absolutely. Was it personally? Absolutely. He just, you know, kind of rallied around you and said, okay, I'm going to hold your hands. you know, in a figure, you know, technically. And, you know, I'm going to build you up and empower you to do whatever it is you want to do. And so I don't know how I got through last June. I think, you know, by the time, you know, it was announced the fact that he had died, I knew at the core of him he would fundraise and raise money for anything. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had his voice in it in my head going, you know, hey, Shrek, you know, we got a goal to make. You're going to show up and you're going to do this. And, you know, part of me was like giggling, going, you know, I know, you know, him sitting upstairs, you know, because I believe that, you know, people transcend. He was going, okay, you know, what else, you know, why not a mug with my face on it? To help you get to where you needed to be.
Well, he was such an inspirational figure to everybody at Free Speech and throughout the whole organization and all the people who gave money. I mean, he was an incredibly irreplaceable man in many ways. But tell us how you came about his fellowship. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this was really born from John Stout, and John is one of the founders of the organization. John has been in this for 20 years from the beginning that, you know, where Free Speech TV was born. And Free Speech has not always been a 24/7 network. This has been a long journey and a long ride to get to where we've been. And through John's commitment with a gentleman called John Swartz, who's now on our board, and they're the two that really came up with this idea through, you know, emotional journeys and unbelievable passion has built the network to where it was or where it is. And so John being and considering Jason, which I know it runs very, very deeply for him, I think both of them, very similar to me, I think John looks at Jason as a very good friend and a brother. Mm-hmm. And so this is really John's way of saying, okay, how do we honor this man, you know, that is no longer here? And how do we carry on the legacy of him and are able to introduce people to a realm of activism that stems, you know, of course, you've got to go back to the fundraising part because Jason was a huge fundraiser and incredibly good at what he did. So that's really what the fellowship was born out of. It was born out of complete heart and passion and love and saying, okay, there is a way, and I know that there is a way to continue what he was doing on a daily basis, what he was doing prior to Free Speech TV, what he was doing currently at Free Speech TV, and really inspiring almost a new generation of fundraisers, of activists, of folks who really wanted to delve into nonprofit in a different way, but in a very unique way and in a way that you would be supported by, you know, various people who had worked with them day in and day out. Is it going to be easy once this fellow is hired? I think it's, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge at some times. At the same time, I think it's a beautiful thing to look at that individual and say, you know what, here's who my manager was.
Mm-hmm.
And let me
so
tell
your
you
goal,
this, and hopefully...
Heather, your goal is every year or as often as possible, you want to bring on a new trainee, a new fellow into this organization, and be able to pay that person to at least intern with you for a while before setting him loose on the world. Is that kind of the gist of it?
It is, yeah. So we're looking at raising a total of $50,000 over 5 years, so basically 10 a year to say, okay, we're going to bring in 5 individuals once a year through a certain span of time and say, okay, we're going to give you all the tools. Hopefully we can give you really bringing in Jason's spirit into that person so that whatever it is, that direction they want to go, are they, you know, are they development bound? Are they outreach bound? Are they web bound? Are they production bound? Whatever the case may be, is that, you know, we really try to drive in the heart and spirit of who this man was, hopefully inspiring them in a new way that they're coming into nonprofits and seeing it through new eyes. You know, I'm a full advocate that people like Jason don't come around very often. And,
right.
You know,
they're very unique.
When they are, and it's, you know, you just honor, and, you know, I've said it to whoever is asked, you know, just one of the most beautiful gifts and blessings of my life. And somehow I've always held this belief that the universe gives you certain people when it's meant to give you certain people. And somehow in this crazy life that I've lived, I've always had, you know, magical people just come in and out, and he just happened to be one of them. And so if I'm able to look at these fellows and say, hey, you know, this is who this person was, and if you take one sentence of which I've said to you, and that somehow embeds in their heart to kind of carry them on throughout this work, I think, you know, I don't think you can ask more from that. And hopefully it empowers them enough and they can take that one thing that they can carry with them the rest of their career. Nonprofit is a beautiful thing. It's amazing. It's heartfelt. It's God's work, I think, or the universe's work. At the same time, you know, so many people burn out on what they're doing, and, you know, because the pressure is high. It's not, you know, it's not easy to do.
Right.
So you need to find your inspiration from various places. And I think if we're able to bring in, you know, whatever age people, I know they say the next generation, I'm really open to somebody going, hey, I want a career switch in my 40s or 50s or 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to us and applying for it, I think that would be incredible. But if we're able to bring those folks on and say, okay, here's this person, here's this individual, and, you know, this is why you're here. And
Heather, how can people donate to this cause? How can they, where should they go, or what should they do? Who should they contact? Tell our listeners what they can do to help move this along and make it be a big success. Where should they donate? What website should they go to? What phone number should they call? What should they do, dear?
They can definitely go on the website. We have various, you know, donation levels, and we have a banner on our website where you'll see Jason and his daughter, Lael, at a young age, and it's called the Jason McCain, and you'll see it, Jason McCain Fellowship, and you can click that. And then
and that's at www.freespeech.org?
It is.
www.freespeech.org.
Yeah, and or they can send a check, you know, to our office. And the biggest thing is if you are donating to our office for this cause, you definitely want to put that it's specified for the Jason McCain Fellowship, because those funds are restricted, which means that, you know, if you put Jason McCain, we know exactly that that's the program you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do it at Free Speech TV, 2900 Welton Street, Suite 300. Welton Street, Suite 300, Denver, Colorado 80205.
Beautiful. And regarding Free Speech TV, you don't have to only give money during the pledge drive. I mean, you can donate at any time by going on online on their site, and there's a donate button or something, isn't there? And then you can also call in your donation, can't you, any 24/7?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, because we do pledge drives, folks you know, think we only fundraise through those, you know, that four times a year. But we're like every other nonprofit, you know, 365. Anybody who wants to help can definitely do that through the website, either calling into our donation line or through that mailing address. And
what is that number, Heather? What is that donation line number, toll-free?
Trying to remember it. 877-378-8669.
There we go. I have it memorized by heart. But I'm glad you do it, too, because you're in the business
there.
With
all the pitching I do, you know, I should know that number by now.
Well, you have a lot of numbers to deal with every day, and a lot of them are money-related. But and like I mentioned earlier, there is not a single dollar that you donate that will go to waste or to go to lavish things that are unnecessary. It all goes to good causes, to enlightening the world, making this a better planet, a more just planet, a more enlightened planet. I mean, it's any way you look at it, Free Speech TV is a very, very good investment. Plus, your donation is tax deductible. Either whether it's the Jason McCain Fellowship or Free Speech TV, it's a tax deductible donation. So if you're looking for ways to avoid paying the maximum amount of taxes, there's a great way, and that's by donating to Free Speech TV and or the Jason McCain Fellowship. So I encourage everybody to do that or consider doing it, especially as we get toward the year end and you're looking at ways to pad your tax exempt accounts, you know. So go with it, people. I encourage you to do so, even if it's $10. Every $10 helps, you know. It's a step in the right direction, and it's a step for independent media, which is fairly based, which isn't corporate cloaked. It's pure free speech, and it's wonderful. It's such a contrast to the corporate-owned junk we see constantly on the rest of the mainstream television channels. It's so enlightening and so refreshing. I have learned so much from Free Speech TV over the years. It'll always be on my television station list, always.
Very
well
stated. It's such a gem.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a gem to work in a place that's not bought and sold, you know,
right.
Where, you know, unfortunately what journalism has become, and there's not a true journalist, very, very few, and you can look at our independent media friends, you know, outside of the network, so you can look at The Nation and you can look at Mother Jones.
Right.
But as a network is concerned, this is the only place that isn't for sale. So when you
right.
see
yep.
those commercials on corporate media, your news is very different because, unfortunately, the voices are hindered by that advertising to say,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, you know, are you going
let me
to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, let me interject here. From Walter Cronkite to Ted Koppel, even down to Bill O'Reilly, have admitted the destruction of the news when they made it a for-profit TV program.
Exactly.
It's no different than the Brady Bunch or anything like that. That has been the downfall of a true news organization. They made it for-profit.
It totally is. And what's sad is that, you know, what those folks who do represent, you know, who are on CNN or MSNBC or Fox, wherever you're talking about, unfortunately, some of those voices in what they may want to say are being hijacked, you know. So
right.
if you have some big pharmaceutical story that you really want to cover, how can you be unbiased? In the news reporting is
they've always
almost
got to
every
tone
other
it down
commercial
to not offend the corporations
is a pharmacist,
that are paying their bills.
It's
yeah. yeah, it's something else. And it's turned into infotainment, which is not good. We need information, folks, not infotainment. Anybody can
very
be a
well
cheap
stated,
comic.
Jack.
You know, we've got to have the real thing, and that's what Free Speech TV always delivers. Amy Goodman is one of the few investigative journalists still around. Glenn Greenwald's another one. There are all kinds of people
Jeremy
like that,
Scahill
but you don't hear much about
Intersect.
Them.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Scahill with Intercept,
oh, yeah.
and, You know, I was talking to a donor, various donors actually, during March's drive, and we were talking about, you know, Amy, and Amy does such hardcore news in 1 hour, and she's really the closest thing that we do have to that Walter Cronkite now than we've ever had, where she really, you know, puts her heart and soul on the line. She's putting, you know, truth out there. She was on CNN, what, a couple months ago? One of the most epic, I think, interviews I've seen, and it was just pure Amy going, excuse me, what are you doing? You know,
I can just see it.
It's just, you can't get better than that, because she's so passionate about what she does and has no qualms about looking somebody dead in the eye, especially on corporate media, which is basically, you know, somewhat of a competition, and saying, I don't think so.
Yeah, she'll call their bluff right to their face. She minces no words to get at the truth, and she presents truth.
Yeah.
That is what is so golden about her. I had the joy of meeting her one time right after her first book was released, called Exception to the Rulers, and it was a very good book, very moving. And I actually got to see her present her she had a presentation, and then afterward there was kind of a meet and greet session. And I actually got to meet her and get her autograph on one of the books that I bought. And she is a one-of-a-kind person. She's a very serious person. She's not boring in the least. She's on her game. She's very wary of what's going on. She's very news savvy. She's on top of her game. And you can see her on Free Speech TV, folks. You can see her two or three times a day. She's incredible. And she joins Tom Hartman. She joins Mike Papantonio, America's lawyer, who successfully sued a lot of corporations on behalf of the people, and David Pakman and Bill Press and Stephanie Miller. I mean, they have a great array of television programs every single day of the week. Laura Flanders has joined their ranks now. It's just wonderful the amount of great TV you see on Free Speech TV. You can go to their website and stream a lot of this stuff live and look at archives of all the shows that are on the network. I encourage everybody, after we get done tonight and in subsequent days, go to freespeech.org and look it over. Give it a good going over. You won't be disappointed. It's going to open the door to a fresh new air of great news that you don't get anywhere else. It's great.
No, it's mind-blowing. And, you know, Amy, shout out to hers. I mean, they're celebrating their 20th year. I've been a viewer and a supporter of, you know, Democracy Now! For 16 of the 20. And I encourage folks that, you know, she wrote a new book and it's on their 20 years of Democracy Now! It comes out this week. I thought it had already come out. Little did I know when I, you know, went to my bookstore yesterday, it's, you know, this coming week, but she's on a book tour right now, and she's traveling the country. So if you have not, you know, 100 cities, and if you have, you know, if you, even if you don't know her, go check it out, hear what she has to say, go to that book reading, and your mind will be blown. And Amy is one of those that is just, I think I can say about everybody on this channel, that's authentic, full of integrity, full of passion, and just love, unadulterated love for what they do. And it's not easy work. They work so incredibly hard. Even if you're looking at her show, for example, that says 1 hour, or you're looking at Tom, who does, you know, 3 hours through the Tom Hartman program. He also does an hour of the Big Picture. So he does 4 hours, 5 days a week of real time news. And Bill Press, 3 hours. Stephanie Miller, 3 hours. These are people who are constantly watching news, constantly going, okay, what can we discuss? And then what they're driven by is saying, okay, this is what I was born to do, was I was born to bring my perspective, my opinion, spin news in a new light, things that we're not used to seeing, that's not bought.
Not corrupted by corporations?
No. No, absolutely not. No. And have that freedom. And, you know, Stephanie obviously brings in the humor, which I think, you know, folks who really love her show really live for. Bill Press has been in media for a very, very long time and has that, and how he's been able to sustain that amount of time is incredible. You've got Tom, who's been into it for a long time at the same time. I feel like I'm going back to school with him every day.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just a walking encyclopedia, and people call into his show and question him on, you know, laws or whatever, you know, from eons ago, and somehow that man can spout it out like you've never seen, and you are just sitting there going, what are you talking about? How do you know that?
He's a jaw-dropper, no doubt. Heather, before we get off the air here in a few more minutes, I just want to thank you publicly for the great assistance you've given us. You helped us get Eleanor Goldfield from ACT OUT, one of your programs, on the air here a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Last year, you got Respectful Revolution, Stacey Ware and Gerard Ungerman on here. What a great organization they were. They aired some of their shows on your network, and we'll do so again here down the line. And we want to thank you publicly for the wonderful help you gave us in obtaining those people and their interviews, which were outstanding. So you can see it in our archives for Blog Talk Radio's Here Be Monsters, a Sunday show. Just go to the website, and you'll be able to archive old past shows and look. You won't be disappointed. We've had a lot of great activists and a lot of great guests over the last few years, and it's just been a very pleasure for me to be on and to have great people like Heather and Eleanor and Stacy and Gerard and all those wonderful people as well. So it's hats off to you for that, Heather. Thank you so much.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to say, okay. Jack, when I hear accolades like that with, you know, those of free speech doing this, it gives you hope that this low-information voters will not be winning elections here in the very near future.
Yeah,
they won't be
low-information
much longer either if they go to Free Speech TV and learn about
that's
stuff.
That's right, Jack. That's absolutely
great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, and I think, you know, I think people are waking up, and I think people do have the hope, and I think that people do want different. They realize status quo doesn't work anymore, and that they're really frustrated with things the way that they're going. And, you know, with Eleanor, she is a special, you know, human in her own right. She brings in incredible energy and sassiness and passion on a youthful perspective and where youth is, but giving you news through new eyes. Stacey and Gerard talk about, you know, how many times do we struggle to find something positive and to remind ourselves that there's being incredible work being done every day. And so Gerard on his, you know, motorcycle goes around and, you know, finds people doing amazing work. And we need that reminder. And, you know, I'm obsessed with the Bernie Birdie video. I thought that to me, you know, I just personally, I support Bernie, but I needed some, you know, happiness, I think, which we all struggle with in this political climate. And just to kind of see joy on something simple, I think, is a beautiful thing. And I don't want folks to, you know, watch news or look at, you know, what's coming out of, especially Mississippi and North Carolina, which I think is really gutting. And we have amazing viewers in those states who, you know, are incredibly passionate about change.
We'll be getting a great perspective on the movement Democracy Awakening, which is going to be happening in Washington, D.C. and around the country this next week. And Eleanor Goldfield is one who will be reporting on it, and I'm sure she'll be incorporating it in her show. And Free Speech TV may also run some specials on it. So it's a very important movement. It's very, very awakening in the true sense of the word, for people that are wondering what can we do on a democratic level to make sure that we're not overrun by corporate sludge and reactionary nonsense. And it's going to be a great, great week coming up, and it'll be the beginning of a great new future. Let's hope that, definitely.
No, absolutely. And keep the hope. Don't allow fear, you know, what you're hearing from other media news outlets or walking around your own community, and allow that to ingrain itself in you. I really, really, truly encourage people to stand up and fight that fear. And how you fight that fear is through love and through education. Of yourself, of your community, to constantly talk to people. Find that, you know, if you're, you know, in a community or you don't have friends and family who support your beliefs, go reach out and find those folks and keep that hope alive. That's how I think we are going to be able to continue to grow and move forward in the loving and see the change we want to see. If we're constantly being fear-based and, you know, allowing all this stuff to get and eat at us, you know, we're going to want to hide. And this is not the time to hide. And it's never, I honestly don't believe it's ever a time to hide.
Folks,
let your
remember,
voice be heard. Vote the way you want to.
And remember to donate to Free Speech TV and or the Jason McCain Fellowship. You can do it at 1-877-378-8669 or by going to www.freespeech.org and clicking on their donate button. And it's a very, very, it's a treasure for this country to have such a great organization, nonprofit as Free Speech TV out there. And let's support it all we can, the best we can, even $5, even a dollar, for heaven's sakes. No donation is too small. And you can do monthly donations. You can do it however you want. That's the beauty of it. It's just a wonderful thing to support, and it's so important for people to really realize what's going on out there. And with that, I'll say good week to everybody. Keep pushing forward, everyone. Thank you so much, Heather Schreck, Pledge Drive Director and Special Events Manager of Free Speech TV, for being on with us today on the Herbie Monsters Sunday Show. And thank you very, very kindly for all you do. And all the great people that are at Free Speech, thanks to them too. And Gwen, thank you for a great show. And Wayne, good to hear from you.
Know,
Wayne,
Jack,
where can we hear you?
Jack and everybody, thank you. This is one for for the venue. So thank you again. Good night, all.
And you can see Wayne. You can see Wayne's writing at Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
F. Wayne Johnson.
And,
Minds and Times of it.
And we want to say thank you to our great blog site called Roundtree 7. That's Roundtree and then the number 7.org. It's a great site. And what a great cadre of writers they have over there. They're all progressive oriented, and they're very, very insightful. They're like, they all belong on Free Speech TV, really, all of them. They're all so good. So thank you, Gwen, for another great show, another great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Looking forward to it. And thanks again for everything, Heather. You're doing a great job, and we love having you on.
No, and heartfelt thank you to everybody. Thank you for having me on and for all that you do. You guys do great work. So I'm just proud to stand with you united as we fight along.
Very
thank
good.
You. Good night.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Happy Sunday.